Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, March the 26th, 2026. How about those numbers? 3-26-26. 15 minutes past the hour. First Thursday in the season of spring. And it feels that way this morning. Very nice weather out there. 56 degrees and partly sunny skies. Well, we had a great conversation on the program yesterday. Just open phone lines. And discussed a lot of things going on in Marion and around the area, and hopefully we'll be able to do that today. But before we open up the phone lines this morning, there are a few bits of housekeeping I want to get out of the way this morning. I was sad to learn on the obituary report that former state senator Larry Mumper has died at the age of 88. Good long life for Larry. And I remember State Senator Larry Mumper very well. I believe he represented the 26th district as a state senator. Early on in the radio career, he was one of the guys who used to have a regular spot on a show that I hosted called Morning Magazine on WMRN. And Larry would come in once a month, and we would discuss whatever was going on in the state senate, or what was going on in the state, or what was going on in Marion. And he was always a very cordial guy, very nice guy, always liked Larry Mumper, interesting guy. I was learning this morning, I was looking back at some of his biographical information. Apparently, he left office in 2008. That's unbelievable for me to think that it had been that long since he left office, 2008, December 31st, 2008. But sad to hear that Larry Mumper passed away, but he was 88, he lived a good long life, and I just remember he would come in, and one thing Larry Mumper really loved to talk about in those days when I was interviewing him was global warming. And I remember we had many discussions, that global warming and the war in Iraq at the time. And I don't remember specifically any of the conversations about the war in Iraq, but I do remember global warming conversations because Larry would come with a lot of information, a lot of paperwork based on global warming. So Larry, good guy, always had a good conversation with him. Don't think there ever was an argument or anything of that nature. So sad to hear that he passed. And I know that's a name that a lot of people will remember in this area. Larry Mumper, former state senator in this area, gone at the age of 88. 88, not too bad at all. So I wanted to mention that. Also wanted to mention that there's a story. Now, this is an odd bit of business, but, you know, as I always say, when we get information that contradicts something that we have said, we're always glad to get it out there. There is a headline, I think, today in the Marion Star. I'm not sure when it'll be in the paper edition, but it says the women's club event, the dancing event, broke records, fundraising records. Now, as I had said last week, I had heard that that was not the case. Now, I don't know how much they were off. Nobody gave me any exact numbers, but I had heard from somebody who was there who said there were some empty seats and said that they did not raise as much money as they had in the past. Well, according to the Marion Star this morning. Now, I did not read the story because it's beyond the pay window, but it says they broke fundraising records. So, that's a good thing. I don't know why that would be a bad thing. And I guess when you know something, you report it correctly. So if they did break a fundraising record, I think that that's good. I mean, why would that not be a positive thing? So I just wonder why, because one of the things that got to the point to where I made that comment last week was that I had not heard anything about the event, because the event was several weeks ago now. I think it was the night of the time change. So that's what, the first or second weekend in March, and here we are, the 26th is when I see this story in the Marion Star. Or I see the headline, I guess is what I should say. But congratulations to the people at the Women's Club for their big fundraising event. Go ahead, caller.
Pure Marion.
Absolutely. What's on your agenda this morning?
Did you get a chance to see Radical Obsession?
No, I was busy last night.
Oh, you got to stop being busy. You got to sit down for 2 hours and watch this. I've also got another one. After you've seen Radical Obsession, there's another one about the October 6th massacre and in Gaza, and the footage is from people and the barbarians who attacked those people.
No,
it
I saw.
So this is stuff that I know the mass media in the United States did not show.
Well, I will watch these things when I get a moment. But I guess what is the overarching theme here? Is it that the Iran war needed to happen? Is that the idea?
It would lead one to the conclusion. Now, again, this documentary, Radical Obsession, was done, I think it was 2020. I thought it was 2017, but it was done 2020. And then reflecting upon what was established in this documentary 6 years ago, or about 6 years ago, and now it kind of substantiates the reason or the necessity to be there. You've got to see it, because the numbers of people that were hung by Khomeini, that were hung from mechanical industrial cranes, it was like people hanging out a bunch of laundry.
Oh,
it made Stalin, it made the Nazis look like kids. And that's the problem with a clerical regime, you know?
Well,
and the clerical regime, Khomeini, the original one back in 79, said there would be democracy, we would have voting, etc. Son of a bitch turned on his people.
Well, I think the interesting thing about the discussion about the Iran war right now is not, I don't think anybody has ever thought that Iran were good people. And I don't think anybody ever thought that what they were doing in their country was a good thing. I don't think that at all. I also don't think that people think that what Russia is doing in their country is a good thing. I don't think they think what people are doing in North Korea is a good thing. I don't think there are a lot of areas, Saudi Arabia, I don't think there are a lot of areas in the country that we would justify how they run their government. I think the issue here is, were we, the United States, in imminent threat to attack another nation? And if we were, what plan did we have in place so we did not get $4 gallons of gasoline? So we did not.
Well, you have to remember, imminent threat doesn't necessarily mean a direct threat.
Well, it does.
The allies of the United States.
Right, well, but again, what ally through NATO was an imminent threat?
Through NATO. I don't think NATO's participated in this yet.
Well, no, well, Trump has asked them to participate, and they're telling him no, because...
Well, you know, here's part of the problem too. The Muslim, Islam. You've got the Sunni, I want to say the Hatti, the Sharia, and there are a few other splinters. Now, Iran has apparently filtered monies to buy so much military equipment, apparently from Russia, and has set up in Argentina, Peru, has set up all across the country. The potential, even to this day, apparently exists that they could do another 9/11.
Well,
that's,
yeah.
That's an extreme possibility. That's how radical and loose they are. And some of the these, for lack of a better word, miscreants, militant miscreants, some are a little less volatile as others, but they're not a cohesive unit. Some of these Muslims despise the other sect of those Muslims. So, you know, it's one hell of a mess. And I think that what has come to be today, after watching this Radical Obsession documentary on Tubi, that you can appreciate what is happening now. It's unfortunate, but apparently all avenues of diplomacy had been ignored by the powers that be in Iran.
Well, I don't think Iran has ever been the most diplomatic country. I mean, they had our hostages in the late 1970s for many, many days. So I don't think they've always been the most diplomatic country. Again, I think the problem is we now know that the president was told that if you do this, if you go in there, you are going to have to put boots on the ground. This is not Venezuela. This is a different country. And this is going to have economic impact on America, because the first thing they're going to do if they feel threatened is they're going to close the Strait of Hormuz. And he seemed to feel that that was not going to happen. And it did happen. And that's why we have over $4 gasoline within a month of the start of this war. And now there are troops on the ground in Iran, which he said would not happen the day that the war happened. He also said there would be immediate regime change, and there was, but we got the son of the Ayatollah, which was worse, by all accounts, than the Ayatollah who we killed. And I think that's the problem. The problem is, and he also, his counterterrorism expert, resigned over this, saying there was no imminent threat, and that he keeps saying that is a lie. And if there was an imminent threat, show it to us. And we also now know...
I think they blew up their nuclear research lab, so we don't have any evidence anymore.
Well, they say that, but see, now here's the problem with that, is that they said they blew up the nuclear facility, where they were trying to build or put together nuclear weapons. But now, last week I was reading, we're not sure if that got done or not. We're not sure exactly what they do have. And I think that was said before we ever bombed them to start this war. That happened months and months ago when we said we had knocked away their nuclear capability. And now there's really no proof that that was done.
And it all depends upon the veracity of the intelligence that they received and how they treated it and acted upon it. And that's why I say we will never know. The press will never get the true story. And you can only really believe what you personally experience, what you see when it happens. And even then, you have to kind of wonder, did I see what I thought I saw?
Well, that's the problem with the whole thing. We only... See, here's the problem, I think, in general. We find... Yeah, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with supporting this. If you want to support it, that's fine. If you think this was the right thing to do, that's fine. I mean, this is America. We're allowed to have opinions. But the problem is that when we're given definitive answers, and then the definitive answers are taken away just weeks later, that's the problem. And that got George W. Bush in a lot of problem. Nobody ever thought Saddam Hussein was a nice guy. Nobody ever thought he was good to his people. But the reason given for going in there was weapons of mass destruction. That turned out to be false. And by the time that war was over, I don't know how many American soldiers were dead. I don't know how many Iraqi civilians were dead. Bush's approval ratings were in the tank, to where he doesn't even get it invited to Republican conventions anymore. And now Donald Trump faces that future, because he was the president who said he did not believe in getting involved in foreign entanglements, and that he did not want to put, he would not put boots on the ground in Iran. They're there now, a month later. That their nuclear capabilities had been destroyed. We're not sure now if they have been or not. His own people said they're going to close the Strait of Hormuz, and that's going to be a problem. He ignored it. They did it. Now we got $4 gas. That's not going over well with him.
And you know, and the price of gas now reflects what they assume oil prices are going to be in the future, because we haven't disrupted the supply line yet, but yet the consumers are paying for what these distributors of gasoline are assuming is going to happen.
Well, all I know is with midterm elections coming up, and it seems every time any president in the last, well, since Vietnam, has gotten into a war where they had to put American troops on the ground, Iraq, Afghanistan, now this, it is not seen as popular in America. And all of those situations do not end well for us, because in the end, we try to bring regime change, but we've got to remember, these people are not hot on Americans either. They're not very favorable of us. And
these people are a bunch of tribes, you know?
Right.
That's why the whole continent of Africa has not really evolved like some of the other countries or continents.
Well, yeah, but I think a lot of people are also wondering why do we not have a problem with what Russia has been doing in Ukraine? Why do we not have a problem with North Korea and all the threats that they've made over the years? And we know they have a nuclear weapon. Why was this the war to pick? Why was this the fight to pick?
Because they only want to have one country to have to worry about nuclear war. So if there are only two people in the ring, you can keep a better eye on them. Kim Jong-il helping Iran. That's two other people in the ring. So you don't know. I mean, they could gang up with Russia. So as long as you mitigate the numbers of those people or potential threats, the better you can keep an eye on them. But think about this. If Bush would have been smart enough or clever enough, instead of saying weapons of mass destruction and Saddam Hussein, he should have said, Saddam Hussein is a child pornographer. Everybody would be behind it, you know?
This is from one of our listeners out there this morning. We do know the U.S. blew up an elementary school for girls and killed 168 children on the first day of the Iran war. Whoopsie-doo, I guess. Meanwhile, our government has cut funding for everything that benefits the general public, yet has handed out billions to foreign countries and has seemingly unlimited funds to kill children. That's from a listener.
Is it unsubstantiated, or is it substantiated that it was a U.S. bomb that blew up that school? Because when you look at this documentary, I'm going to show you of Hamas and all the rest of these radicals in Gaza. They were killing children's parents in front of them and then killing these children. One took a pregnant woman, slit her open, and stabbed the fetus in the head. They poured gasoline on people alive and fried them. It's disgusting what these barbarians did. We've got to put our foot down and stop this some way, somehow.
But
because the whole thing with these radical Muslims is world domination. Get rid of the, I can't think of the word. The people that don't believe the way they do. They need to be destroyed, you know? This has got to stop.
Well, that's another problem. That's one of the problems we don't do well in Middle Eastern conflicts. Because the United States, we value life, and we do not like to die. And people in Iran and other parts of the world believe that dying for their cause makes them a martyr. And
well,
they're glad
they think they're
going to
have those 12 virgins.
Right,
I mean,
and that's why we don't do well in those situations. And
well, that's the reason why there's a big distinction between Judeo-Christian belief and anything other than that. A religion that believes that only they are the chosen and everybody else, infidel is the word I was looking for. The Muslims have to kill the infidels. And if you're not Muslim, you're an infidel. That's as simple as the way they look at it.
Hold on, we got another listener this morning. Hot topic, I guess, here. Trump campaigned against Biden before he dropped out that if Biden won, Biden would start a war with Iran and it would be all bad. But now with Trump, it's good?
Well, all I can say is that's political campaign rhetoric.
Well,
some things just, serendipitously happen. But I think, too, it'll give you a lot better perspective on this whole thing. I believe that this documentary, Radical, I forget the title of it now. This documentary, I think, will give you perspective and a little better insight. It appears to me to be more factual, not preachy, just, here's what happened.
Well,
especially the footage that was from those people.
Well,
Radical obsession.
Let me make this point before we move on, is that I did a Facebook Live on Saturday night, and this was one of the main topics, was the Iran war, as it was ramping up even further. And there were this shocked me. There were people, a part of that broadcast that night, who absolutely would tell you that they have supported President Trump, would absolutely tell you that they voted for President Trump, and they would absolutely tell you now that he has betrayed them. And the things they were saying on Saturday night when I did that broadcast shocked me, because these are people who, through his first term, his time out of office, and his reelection campaign, were all in on everything he did. And now they're using terms like he's lied, he's betrayed us, he's beholden to Israel. This is all about money.
Did they enumerate the lies and everything?
The lies of what? That Trump?
Well, they made the assertion that he has lied.
Oh, yes, yes, that he would not get involved in foreign entanglements. He thought that was a bad idea. He would not commit troops.
Again, you know, when you're running for political office, people, every politician lies to varying degrees.
But you know, when we say that, though, then we can't say that the politicians we dislike, when they do something that may not be what they said, then we can't come down on them for it. We just have to say, well, that's how it goes.
Well, you know, we always have to vote for the lesser of two evils. It always comes down to that, the lesser of two evils. So, you know, we don't really get, we don't get a saint, you know?
No, but we
will never get a saint.
But we get what we choose. And I see that lesser of two
evils.
Yeah,
we end up with what we get because of the lazy people who don't get up off their butts and vote and try to arm themselves with enough information to make a better informed decision.
Right, but we get the people who go through primaries, win primaries, want to run for office. I mean, you can't force people to run for office. And I don't know, you know, this lesser of two evils idea, I can't say that every president we've had has been evil. So, I can't say
some
that...
Some are a little less than others, but you always end up either or. That's
yeah, but why is it always the lesser of two evils? Why can't it just be, well, this is what I think. I'm not great. I don't like either one of these people a whole lot, but I think this one will be better than this one.
That's why, do you recall the last thing that comes out of Pandora's box?
No, what's that?
Hope.
Right.
We all hope that we're voting for the right person, that they'll do right by us, and make our lives, you know, really give us a great return on our tax dollar investment.
Well,
that's what we always hope for.
Well, again, third person this morning out there listening, not talking about the Epstein files anymore, are we? So there's another reason people feel
well,
this has been...
That's a topic you can talk about. It's not going anywhere anytime
soon.
Well,
no, I think the point was that's why this was done, was to get the Epstein files off the front page.
Well, that can be made, the validity of it, who knows. But here's something for Marion. You know how we could save a lot of money and somebody needs to do an analysis. How much does the police department cost?
I don't have the budget in front of me. It's expensive.
Well, I don't know if Naomi Craig is listening or whatever. I tried to call her. I couldn't leave a message or anything, but I know she looks at the budget and that. But just think, if we got rid of the police department and we hired with the sheriff, and the sheriff's department absorbed the current police department, that would save us quite a chunk of change, period. So that's something that, I don't know, somebody at the city hall could maybe consider, crunch the numbers and see how much could be saved.
Well, I imagine there would be layoffs in that, and I think that's what they're trying to avoid. And being
layoffs.
Yeah, I think that you would have to... The biggest.
Would you rather have your people not be laid off than be acquired by the sheriff's office and have maintain their jobs?
With the financial situation the county is in, I certainly don't think the sheriff's office could absorb the entire police department.
Well, I think it's something to look at and see where the cost savings are.
All right. Well, thank you.
Do it better tomorrow.
All right, and the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. Okay, well, I got the bit of housekeeping done about Larry Mumper passing away at the age of 88. Sorry to hear about that, and hopefully, he was a nice man. And I had interactions with him over the years, so I'll remember him very well. We updated people on the Women's Club event. Apparently, they did break records. I just think it's the delay in the news coverage of that that caused a problem there. And the fact, really, that there was no press release sent out. Certainly not to us. Apparently, there was one to the Marion Star, but it came weeks later after the actual event. So maybe that caused the delay there, but congratulations to them if they did break a record. Okay. Let's see, what else did I want to say here this morning? Oh, you know, when I pulled in, now this is very minute, when I pulled in the parking lot this morning, it was bright, sunny, nice weather, nice temperature out there this morning, and there are a lot of squirrels around this building. Now, I don't know why, but there are a lot of squirrels around the building. And there was a squirrel, sitting in the parking lot, with one of his, nuts, and I pulled into the parking lot, and I thought, well, he'll run away. Boy, I'll tell you, this squirrel just stood there in the parking lot until I was almost up on it and just stared at me. I think the squirrel was having a good morning, and then he ran off and played with his squirrel friends out in front of the building. But I'll tell you, I think animals are getting a little more adventurous. Even the small ones who used to stay very hidden if they would hear a car coming or something like that. But this squirrel was having a good time this morning. Maybe spring has sprung for the squirrels out there. And I also wanted to say today is opening day for the Cubs. The Chicago Cubs will open up the baseball season. That's a sure sign of spring. Today, Wrigley Field at 1:20 p.m. Central Time. So how about that? They will play, who are they playing? I believe the Washington Nationals. So we hope the Cubs will win. All right, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have any thoughts on, well, we talked a little bit there about the war in Iran. That's been an interesting topic as of late. And we certainly have spent a lot of time talking about what happened Monday night at the city council meeting. That has been a topic of interest for a lot of people. Always interesting stuff, but I would have to say that I am most excited today about the Cubs' first game, although I will not be around to see or listen to it. Hey, Cubs opening day, you can't go wrong there. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
So at what point do we hold people accountable? Your prior caller, you know, in local government, he wants to hold people accountable, and he wants the, you know, politicians to be held accountable, and I 100% agree with that. But it seems like when it comes to the orange guy, who's obviously his guy, or if you ask any questions about Trump at all, it's, well, you know, all you know, politicians lie, and all politicians do this during the campaign, and you know, he's even suggesting, like, you know, well, instead of calling it weapons of mass destruction, he suggests that they should lie to the public. So I struggle with that, you know, and I see that in a lot of the people's politics today, is when it's the opposition, we want to hold them to account to everything. But when it comes to our guy or our gal, you know, we get this, well, and, you know, I've learned over the years that a very good indicator if you're getting ready to step into bullshit is when somebody answers your question or starts the answer with, well, that's when you know you need your hip waders.
Well, you know, one of the problems, and I've said this before, is when somebody, whether it's a person or a media outlet or a politician or whoever it is, when they have already endorsed somebody or they are already supporting somebody heavily, you know that they already have a built-in bias. And the problem is with a built-in bias is you are not seeing things as clearly as you should. Over the career, I'm talking about Larry Mumper this morning. You know, I'm sorry that he passed away. I interviewed him when I was at WMRN once a month. But we certainly were not friends. When he would come in and he would want to talk about global warming, we would have that discussion. I know a lot of politicians because of being in this business for a long time, but very, very, very few of them I would ever consider friends. And as far as many people have made accusations about who I like and who I don't like, I've never endorsed a candidate. I've never campaigned for a candidate. I've never put a candidate's yard sign in my yard. I've never done any of that with anybody, whoever it was. So that's where I start to get, because I think when you do that, you immediately have a bias. And if you think that you can operate fairly with that bias, I'm sorry, you can't, because just the things you say, if you say you're helping that person, if you have, you know, Madge Cooper, who was, I don't know how many people remember the name anymore, the grand lady of broadcasting in this town, started in 1941, the second week WMRN was on the air, and she was on the air for over 50 years. Madge Cooper, to my knowledge, never put a political sign in her yard. Now, I know what political party she was, and I know who she supported and who she didn't, but she would never let anybody else know, and I don't think anybody ever did know. So, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. That's lost on people now because, and I think it ends in what you're saying. Once you show that, then it's your guy or your girl.
Sure, sure, I agree. I mean, when I was going through all my stuff with Habitat and, you know, the people of all that, and, you know, that whole organization and city government, all the people in that, Denny Ferguson, Lynn Zucker, all of them, it's all about Marion Christian Center. They all come out of Marion Christian Center. And somebody that went there, and I used to go there, and somebody that I respect very much made a comment to me once that, you know, Phil, people that we like, you know, can do no wrong, and people that we don't like can do no right. And that's a very true statement today. And since that statement was made to me, I make it a daily effort to listen to the words, not the voice it's coming from. I mean, the truth has nothing to do with whether it comes out of Terry Klein's mouth or Phil Townsend's mouth or Bill Collins or President Trump or anything. The truth is the truth. And we need to quit agreeing or disagreeing or choosing our leaders based on, well, he's our friend or she's our friend. And I mean, I had a good friend who passed away, and would, you know, we would talk sometimes, and you know, sometimes she would ask me to referee a, you know, small argument between her and a family member or somebody else. I would listen to both sides. One time, I sided with the other side, and she looked at me and she said, "Well, I thought you were my friend." And I told her, I said, "I am your friend. I'm you're a great friend of mine. Being your friend doesn't mean I agree with everything you say and do." And that's very important, I think.
Well, and I think that leads me to my next question, and this is a long ball, but, you know, what are your thoughts on what's going on in Iran? I mean, I certainly think we should be talking about this. Gas prices reached $4 this week, and we do have boots on the ground in Iran now, which we were told that would not happen. What do you make of what? Now, Iran, horrible country, no doubt about it, and we have a worse leader over there now than we had a month ago when the Ayatollah was killed. But what do you make of what's going on and where this is all headed?
I mean, it's not unexpected. I'm really concerned that there's very little discussion. There is some about when was this war declared by Congress? When I mean, what happened to the whole processes? Just like the ballroom and everything else, and I'm digressing a little bit here, but it seems like this administration is just doing whatever the hell they want to do, and the checks and balances that are the backbone of our Constitution have fallen by the wayside. I mean, I think that, you know, absolutely they're going to continue to try to, you know, develop a nuclear weapon. I think absolutely. absolutely we did not obliterate their nuclear program several months back in June or July or whatever it was of last year. I think part of the problem today is leadership looks you in the eye, whether it's local leadership or national leadership, and they look you in the eye and they lie to you, and then they look at the next person in the eye and they will literally flip-flop and lie to them, and people will hear the lies happening and everybody just goes along with it. I don't think we should be in there. I'm kind of in agreement with Trump's campaign. He campaigned on we should not be the police force of the world. I'm not against NATO at all. I think we should keep NATO and keep it going, but I think it should be more equitable. The membership should be more equitable. The United States should not bear the brunt of all of this. I think we spend billions and trillions of dollars in the blink of an eye, and our own people lose their homes and lose their livelihoods and lose everything they had because of medical bills. The third world countries of the world and countries that are coming up and countries that are trying to overtake the United States, they understand that, having a healthy society and an educated society is the way to the future. But yet we make sure that, only the elite can get that education, and only the elite can have health care. So I know that's not the answer you were looking for about Iran. I guess maybe it is. I'm more concerned about America. I'm not America first. I'm not trying to say I don't back Trump at all. I agree with some things he says, and that took me full circle to, again, it doesn't matter whose voice or whose name the truth comes from. I can agree with Trump on certain points. I don't like the man, never have liked the man, and I voted for him for the first time in the first election. So,
well, there we go. No, I appreciate the honesty, and I appreciate the opinion. Thanks for calling.
Have a great day.
All right, and again, the phone lines are always open here. Where are we now? 56 minutes past the hour, WGH talk time, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I am getting a message on the squirrel front here that one of our listeners out there this morning, Mary, sent me a picture of a squirrel. Looks like on one of her outside tables, and it says this is her squirrel. Her name is Tulip. So there you go. See, the squirrels, they're getting a little more, and this squirrel is just laying there, lounging, kind of looking at Mary as she takes the picture of Tulip, the squirrel. Maybe I'll have to name my squirrel out here. I don't know what I'll name it, the one in the parking lot. Hopefully it moves out of the way of cars a little better. We don't want it to get squished. That might end up being the name if it doesn't get out of the way of cars. But, boy, they're having a good time out there. Spring has sprung. And, again, the kickoff of the Cubs baseball season today is a certain sign of that. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. About 3 minutes left in this segment. If there's anything you would like to say, we would be glad to hear from you. That's why we're here. So, again, we're sad to hear of the death of former State Senator Larry Mumper at age 88. We wanted to come back and say that, according to the Marion Star headline, the Women's Club event earlier this month did break a fundraising record, and the Cubs opening day is today, if you'd like to watch or listen to that. Sure sign of spring, and the squirrels are out, and we have talked a little bit this morning about the Iran issue here, certainly in America and overseas. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Scott. You haven't heard from me to yak around, have
you? Well, go ahead.
You know about the yard signs. Carol and I moved out here 30 years ago just to be in the country, and we didn't know nothing about Pleasant Township. We didn't know what the people were or how they regulated themselves or anything, but we had a chance to make a good buy, and we took the buy and developed it and built a house on it. So we've been happy for all these years. But get back to the signs. When I never, when we lived in town, I never had a town, and lived on Merkel 47 years and raised a family there. And I was born and raised there. And I never seen a yard sign in the yard that I can recall right offhand in that part of town. So that yard sign just developed really enormously. And I don't pay attention to yard signs, because how can you drive down the road and see them and the traffic and stuff? Where are you going to park and walk up and read the sign? You know, there is some fine print on some of them. So when I come out here, they asked me along the road here if I put a sign up. And I said, well, it don't make any difference to me. I said, right there and out there to the roadway, I said, that don't belong to me at all anyhow. Might pay taxes on it, I said. But I said, I don't have nothing to say about what you want to do and what you don't let you go. And they said, thanks, Ted. And then I started getting some people. They said, hey, John, who are you voting for, Republican or Democrat? And I said, well, I haven't decided yet. Why? He said, well, you got Democrat and Republican signs in there. I said, well, isn't that the name of the game? Who you want to vote for? I said, I just let the people, whether I don't ask them, they just put a sign up. And I said, if I didn't go up or have the color of the sign, I wouldn't know it from Democrat to a Republic. Is that true to you, Scott? Could you tell from some signs what they are, Democrat or Republican?
No. A lot of them don't list that.
Remember the color and everything like that? Remember when the word was a Democrat was a donkey or something like that, and the Republican was an elephant, wasn't it?
That's right.
Back in my time. So it's a kind of a wishy-washy thing, but I just thought I'd call in, break a little bit of monotony, and I enjoy everything that everybody says, and I don't know how half of it, and you people that follow it and stuff, you really do a good job. So thank you, and have a good day,
hey,
Scott.
I appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, and stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean? Most people are too afraid.